When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Saving money on appliances now at Menards. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with the largest in-stock appliance selection ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands including KitchenAid, Whirlpool, Maytag, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on all appliances at Menards and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all our great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
DSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. We are going to be taking more of your calls coming up, more of your app chat messages, more of your open line voicemails. We'll have all of that coming up in just a little bit. We're going to talk first with Deonna Purrazzo of All Elite Wrestling. She's going to be joining us to talk about the upcoming AEW Collision happening tomorrow night at the Amp in Providence. But again, if you want to get your thoughts recorded, if you want to send them over and I can play them after the fact, you can do that by sending an open line voicemail on the WBSM app, or you can send an app chat text utilizing that feature on the WBSM app, whatever it may be that makes it easier for you to be able to have your voice heard without having to, you know, wait on hold to be on the phone. I do like being able to speak with you and go back and forth, but if you're somebody that gets upset because I might talk over you like that caller yesterday, then you can, you know, always send your thoughts either one of those ways, and I can't interrupt you. So there's that. This Thursday night, Providence is All Elite because AEW Collision is coming to the Amp. That's the Amica Mutual Pavilion in Providence. You can get tickets now at AEWTix.com, AEWTIX.com. And tickets start at just $15. Far and away, the best deal in professional wrestling today. And joining us to talk about AEW Collision is the virtuosa Deonna Purrazzo. Good morning, Deonna. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for checking in with us, because, listen, we are on the south coast of Massachusetts here, and this is a hotbed for wrestling fandom, and you are one of the, far and away, one of the favorite wrestlers of the people who live here on the south coast.
I love to hear that, because I associate, like, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, all these places with the formative years of my wrestling career. So it always feels a bit like coming home to me to be up in New England.
Yeah, I mean, I know, you know, you're a New Jersey girl, and sometimes, you know, people up here in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, we don't really like people from the tri-state area, but people really embraced you here, especially early on in your career, as you were mentioning.
Yeah, you know what, I think part of that is because although I am from New Jersey, I am a New England Patriots fan. So I feel like maybe you guys have embraced me as an honorary New Englander, although I'm not.
So how do you become a Patriots fan living down there in what I'm assuming is, you know, Jets and Giants country?
Yeah, you know, my family are all Giants fans. My husband is a Giants fan. But I think I was a cheerleader growing up. And as my cheer team learned about football so we could call the proper cheers and things like that, New England was winning back-to-back Super Bowls in the early 2000s. And I think that, you know, just as someone who didn't really have, like, any association that early on, I liked the team that kept winning, and I never grew out of that phase.
Well, there you are. I mean, listen, it's a little bit of a rebuilding phase right now, but just a few years from now, Drake May will be the hottest thing in the NFL, and the Patriots will be right back there.
Absolutely. I believe it. I won't lose faith. It's tough to be a New England fan right now, but I'm going to stick with them.
Well, and, you know, sticking with it is something that is, you know, kind of the hallmark of your career, because you've been at this for a long time and you've wrestled all over the world. You've held championships all over the world. You've been a 3-time Impact Knockouts champion, Ring of Honor Women's World Champion. Now you're in AEW. Can you kind of just, you know, discuss with us just about what it's been like going through the entirety of your career to get to where you are now in AEW?
Yeah, it's crazy because I talk so much about how this is all I've ever wanted to do. At 9 years old, I told my parents I was going to be a professional wrestler one day. So to live the last 13 years and be as successful as I've been fortunate enough to be is crazy, because this is all I ever wanted. I wanted to be a world champion. I wanted to be main eventing pay-per-views, and I've gotten to do that. And as I've been on my journey, I've been able to change my hopes and my dreams. And, you know, in January, coming to AEW, debuting in New Jersey, in my hometown, was really what I wanted. I wanted to be a part of this AEW women's division. And for that to become reality has been really special.
And AEW really does have, you know, so many of the preeminent women wrestlers in the world. And the reason why is because, you know, it has gone through this evolution, women's wrestling. And, you know, I think WWE takes a lot of the credit for that, but it really started with the places that you've been wrestling over the years, where, you know, women were featured as just regular competitors instead of an attraction. They were just part of the roster, and it was just a little bit of that change that has kind of led to now you see some of the women wrestlers being the biggest stars in the company.
Absolutely. And it's been such a great journey to be on to see that, you know, that kind of evolution that maybe WWE gets more of the credit for, that started in, you know, early 2011, 2012, 2013 to now. And the fact that I've gotten to be a part of that, I've got to have, you know, first ever matches in TNA. I've been able to watch women here at AEW be a part of main events, you know, on Collision. Just this past weekend, we saw Anna Jay and Mariah May main event for the AEW Women's World Championship. That's so inspiring to me still 13 years in, because this is a new company with a new set of women in our division, a new set of stories that I could tell, and new main events that I can be a part of. So yes, there's been a lot of progress in the last 10 years, but there's still such a great way for women to come, especially here in AEW. And I'm really looking forward to being a part of that.
And the AEW product is something that, you know, fans are just so passionate about. People love being part of the audience, and they love interacting with everybody. And certainly Providence being a great wrestling town, you know, this is going to be a fantastic show on Thursday night.
Yeah, I have no doubt about it. I'm so excited to see, as matches continue to be announced, what is going to be out there for the fans of Providence. I know that all of New England fans love pro wrestling, and I'm so excited to bring AEW to them.
And, you know, you are part of the Vendetta now, and if it's one thing Providence people know a little thing about, it's having a Vendetta. So I think that that's going to be something that they can really get behind.
Yes, absolutely. This new group, me and Taya Valkyrie, is so fun. I'm so excited to show the fans what we're all about. Taya just debuted last week on Rampage, and, you know, we're an intense group of girls. We want what we want, and we're willing to take it by any means necessary. And I think what's most special about me and Taya and the Vendetta is the fact that it goes way farther than just our careers at AEW. Taya and I have been friends, we've been opponents, we've been rivals all across the world. We know each other best, but at the same time, we're also very good friends in real life. We celebrate holidays and birthdays and celebrations with family and friends all of the time. So to be able to have someone I trust and I know who's loyal, has my back, means everything to me, and I know that's Taya.
And again, this is happening Thursday night at 7:30 at the Amp in Providence, AEW Collision. And you can get tickets now. They're just $15 at AEWTix.com, AEWTIX.com. So with the Virtuosa in AEW and, you know, it being there since the beginning of this year, what do you see as your future goals in AEW, both with the Vendetta and for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think my goal obviously would be to become the AEW Women's World Champion or the TBS Champion. Those are championships I've not yet held, and that I'd love to add to my own personal legacy as the Virtuosa. If it can't be me, I want it to be Taya, and I'm willing to help her achieve that same thing any means necessary.
And that really is, you know, that really is kind of the whole idea behind this really renaissance for wrestling is, you know, we can kind of break kayfabe a little bit here. Everybody is so supportive of each other, and everybody wants to see everybody succeed and be the best that they can be. And it's a community aspect within wrestling that hasn't always existed.
Yeah, I mean, I've experienced it in TNA, and I see it in AEW too, only getting better and better the more time that I've been here, that there is this sense of community and camaraderie, and the fact that if we all come together and we support each other, we can really be the best wrestling show on the planet. And I think hands down, we have the talent to do it. And now it's just, you know, we don't have to like each other. We don't have to always get along with each other. But what we put out in the ring, we need to be there for each other. And I think that that is so important to realize. You know, there's going to be drama. There's going to be arguments. But we're putting on the best wrestling. This is where the best wrestlers wrestle. And every week you see that on display.
Well, I just have one final question. Do you have a Drake May jersey that you can wear out into the ring on Thursday night so that you can get the crowd, you know, really hyped up?
I don't, but I do have a custom-made Patriots Virtuoso jersey, so I might have to pull that out of my closet.
I think that will probably go over even more than a Drake May jersey at this point in time after last week's game. So
I will definitely make sure to pack it.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you in the ring and watching you on AEW programming. Deonna, thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully we'll see you down there at the Amp.
Definitely. Thanks so much for having me.
And thanks to All Elite Wrestling for setting that up and making it so that we could have Deonna on with us. They're great. And they know that, as I was mentioning there, that it's a hotbed of wrestling here. People love to support it. And so they're happy to bring some of the stars on when they're coming to the area. So, again, $15? $15? There's independent shows around here that charge more than $15 for a ticket. You can go see a television taping for $15. It's a great deal. And it's a great venue for wrestling. I love seeing wrestling shows at the Amp. Unfortunately, I won't be there. It's a bowling night. But hopefully you can get out there and you can have a good time. $15, AEWTix.com. And let's get back into some of your phone calls, some of your app chat messages. We were talking about the election results, and I can kind of update some of the local results, see if anything new has come in. But Ray also wanted me to read an app chat message because, you know, we were talking about how some folks were saying that he is insufferable. He had something to say about that. He said he finds people who are MAGA to be insufferable. But let me get to this other point that he made. I'm just loading it up. And again, if you've never used the app chat feature, it's just basically like sending me a text here in the studio. You use the WBSM app to send it, and I can either read it on the air. Please only use language that I can actually say on the air. Or you can get a reply back from me. You get like a little alert that tells you that you have a message and you can open it up and read it. So he also said, so the stock market is up almost 4% today. And you're going to start to hear Trump supporters talk about the stock market again and how is it a great indicator of the great economy that's about to be unleashed, which they ignored for the past 4 years. And as he's been saying, as he calls in, you know, this is something that's been trending. And also, you know, we had our conversations on our Money Mondays with Manny Resendiz, who said, you know, expect no matter who wins, expect there to be some positive gains in the stock market following the election because the market likes stability. And an election is instability. You don't know what the future is going to be. And once you have an answer, you'll start to see a result of, so it, you know, it could have been that if Kamala Harris won, it might have gone up just the same amount, might have gone up more, might have gone up less, but it probably, you know, was definitely going to go up either way because that's just the nature of the market's reaction to an answer in a presidential election. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Tim, thanks for taking my call. So, Tim, can you go over the numbers of Bristol County? What was the final tally for the presidential election on that? I heard you say it, but I didn't catch the whole thing. And yep. What was the Ward 1? Because I live up in Ward 1, so I was curious how Ward 1 did.
So let me give a refresh here. So overall, for Bristol County, Kamala Harris 49.3%, Donald Trump 49%. It was literally just 30 votes between the two.
So 30 votes for the whole Bristol County?
For the whole of Bristol County. That's with 70. Wow, that's with 73.4% of the vote in. So there's still some more votes that need to be counted there, but still, that's pretty close. And then
go ahead, I'm sorry.
I would say for Ward 1, Donald Trump won 42-82 to 37-73.
Oh, okay.
And so, if you want to give me...
I think that's been the history for the last couple of elections over there, correct?
Yeah.
Trump won over there.
And I was going to say, if you want to give me your exact precinct, I can tell you what it was in your precinct.
Be honest with you, it's 1F, I believe.
1F, Donald Trump, 746, Kamala Harris, 638.
Okay, yeah. I heard that. So, as I told you before, I'm an independent voter, and I like to get, you know, both sides. Like last night, I was watching, you know, I was flipping through the channels. I couldn't stand up no more. I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning. I usually get up at 4, so I extended my day by the extra half hour, but no big deal. So, right? I was, you know, going through CNN. I like CNN. They're pretty much like, on top of stuff, the guys that commentate and then, you know, pressing the buttons on the screen, and like, mm-hmm. they're more fluent on it. I like that. The only thing I don't like about it, them, is that they don't tally up the Electoral College. But of all the ones I've watched, I think Fox was actually the worst. The way they were their talk and the way they were speaking about the night, and I just got a bad. I didn't care for it too much, but I bounced around, and I went to Newsmax, I went to MSNBC for a little bit. So I like to get, you know, a fair amount of input on what they, you know, what they think of how it's going. So so when you had, I guess you had a gentleman on earlier saying something about the election, like people going to go crazy, like this was the most fair election, and he was talking, I guess your afternoon host there, Barry, right? I think he was saying that he's going to be going crazy because Trump won. I don't see it that way, that in the sense that people are going to go crazy. It's a fair. I don't believe either way that the election, whether it was 2020 or 2016 or whatever election you want, I don't think any of these elections are fair. I should say fair, but totally secure. How's that? I think that's a better way of putting it. Totally secure. Because election, I don't know if you want to say fraud or miss whatever word you want to use, it's been going back for a long, long time. So I would like to see it go back the way it was, paper ballots. I mean, we obviously had problems then, but paper ballots, hand count, voter ID. You might not agree with me, but that's okay. We agree to disagree. I'd like to see it go back to that. This way, nobody from the Republican side, the Democrat side, because I believe those are the two most powerful. I think we can agree that they're the most powerful, candidates, right?
Mm-hmm. The parties, yeah.
And I believe, I couldn't think of the word party. And I believe that both sides peel away votes from independents, libertarians, one way or another, by hook or by crook. You know, I don't know if you agree with that, but so I don't believe that, like that last caller said, that it's you know, the MAGA is going to go crazy, because like I said, I'm an independent. I voted for Trump. I'm happy that he won. Am I going to gloat about it? No, because you know what? In all fairness, there's going to be some problems because the country needs to be fixed in one way or another, whether you agree on that or not. That's fine. I mean, I know you voted for Harris. That's fine. I can respect that. But do you actually think, you said something in the effect of it's fair game to go after him or whatever, go after a Trump? Oh, did I hear you correctly?
Yeah, my point was, you know, you can't complain about it if people do it against Donald Trump if you've been spending 4 years doing it against Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. That was really just my point of it.
Yeah, that's been going on forever and ever. But you got to admit, though, that back in 2015, he took slings and arrows from before he even got a vote in. You know what I mean? So, hey, if that's what people wants to do, if people want to do that and give him a hard time some more, I think he can handle it, because it has nothing to do with me and anybody else, unless somebody invades my space and gets in my face. And, you know, then that's, you know, now we're crossing the line. But as far as him handling it. Hey, you know what? If they want to throw the you know, stones at them, and, you know, not literally throw stones at them, as you know, but and take pop shots at them, then so be it. I think he can handle it, and we'll see where things go in the country. Hopefully, everybody succeeds in this next 4 years.
All right.
That's all I had to say.
Thank you for the call. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And let's take another call here before I got to take a break. Good morning. You are next on WBSM.
Yeah, good morning, Tim. I think you know that, you know, I'm a Trump guy, but I'll still stand beside what I said about 2 weeks ago when I was talking to you on the radio, that I thought you're fair and generous with people that are against you, and I applaud you for that. My biggest disappointment of the whole election was public education was never discussed. And public education in this country is in a disaster. And I would love to see this administration, any administration, address it. We're like, what, 27th, 28th out of the 30th most industrial countries. And we spend a lot of money. And I think that knowledge is power. And I've always thought that. And I hope and my prayer is that in these bigger cities where we have a lot of the minorities living in these inner cities, that they address better schools, better education, maybe pay teachers more money. I know we're paying a lot of money now, but get the best of the best. That's all I want to say. Power is in education. And it doesn't matter if you're a plumber or you're a college professor. Knowledge is power, and I would love to see them address our public education. That's what I'm going to say this morning. Congratulations to, you know, all the candidates. I think, it, you know, hopefully we move forward together as Americans. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. Have a good day. And I'm going to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. In the way of God. Welcome back in. That, of course, is Stevie Nicks' Edge of 17. And just a quick fun fact about that song. First of all, great guitars in that song by Waddy Wachtel. But you might not be aware of how the title of that song came about. When she met Tom Petty's first wife, they were young. And she was later having a conversation with her. And she said, yeah, Tom Petty's wife said, yeah, we met at the age of 17. But because Jane Petty had a strong Southern accent, it sounded like Age of 17. So she thought, she said Edge of 17. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to write a song with that title and I'll give you credit because you helped me. You inspired me with the title. And originally wrote a whole song and then ended up throwing it out when John Lennon was murdered and when someone else close to her died and kind of rewrote the song. But that's how the title Edge of 17 came about, because she misheard Tom Petty's wife say Age of 17. Fun story. All right. Well, speaking of stories, Phil Devitt has all the latest stories for us in the WBSM newsroom.
Trump declares victory, setting the stage for a second term in the White House. Rafael gains strength in the Caribbean, and why President Biden has reason to celebrate today.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Donald Trump is the projected winner of the 2024 presidential election. While speaking to his supporters in West Palm Beach, Florida, about 2:30 this morning, Trump talked about the road ahead.
This is a magnificent victory for the American people that will allow us to make America great again.
Trump promised to help the country heal. He said he'll fight for the people and vow to deliver a prosperous America. A special shout out to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in Trump's remarks. He may join Trump's administration.
He's going to help make America healthy again.
Jr. posted a congratulatory note to Trump on X, cheering what he called a, quote, historic victory. Kamala Harris, meanwhile, expected to deliver remarks today. Senate races in the nation's midsection help tip the balance of power to Republicans. Sue Danielson has more.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz is headed back to Washington, he says, with a mandate to secure the southern border.
Not with empty promises, but with concrete and steel and law and order and with the unshakable resolve from knowing we are protecting those we love.
You may find common ground on immigration with Bernie Moreno, who defeated incumbent Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio. Moreno's family immigrated to this country when he was a child. And as a U.S. senator, he says he'll push for legal immigration. I'm Sue Danielson.
Delaware State Senator Sarah McBride made history on Tuesday. Tammy Trujillo with those details.
She became the first openly transgender person voted into Congress. The Democrat took Delaware's lone congressional seat by a wide margin over Republican John Whalen III. McBride received support for her skill at breaking through party lines to get legislation passed, something she says she hopes to do in Washington. Her priorities include expanding affordable health care, protecting reproductive rights, and increasing the minimum wage. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Forecasters say Rafael has strengthened into a hurricane as it swirls across the Caribbean. Mark Mayfield has the update.
Rafael is now the 11th hurricane of the 2024 season. The storm is expected to keep growing before it makes landfall in Cuba on Wednesday. The National Hurricane Center says the lower and middle Florida Keys could experience tropical storm conditions beginning late Wednesday or Wednesday night. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Obesity doctors are reporting high demand for weight loss drugs, but say supply and insurance hurdles persist. The list price for a month of Eli Lilly's Zepbound and Novo Nordisk's Wegovy is more than $1,000, and many insurance companies won't cover it. Because of that, the two pharmaceutical companies are offering coupons that cut the cost of those drugs by about half. Home Depot co-founder Bernard Marcus is dead at the age of 95. The company made the announcement on Tuesday. Marcus and Arthur Blank founded Home Depot in 1978, which helped grow his net worth to around $7.4 billion. And President Biden's granddaughter is pregnant. Naomi Biden revealed the news on Election Day, posting a photo of herself in the mirror with an I voted sticker on her baby bump. She's Biden's oldest grandchild, and her baby will be the president's first great-grandchild.
WBSM Sports.
Arena. Boston hosts the Calgary Flames tomorrow night. One of the more highly anticipated basketball games of the regular season has arrived. Jason Tatum and the rest of the Celtics slated to take on the Golden State Warriors tonight at TD Garden. And the Patriots made a series of roster moves on Tuesday, including announcing that tackle Zach Thomas has been released. Pats play the Chicago Bears on Sunday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Warm day ahead, getting up to the mid-70s here on the South Coast. Dry and a mix of sun and clouds. Tonight, cooler air moves in, but Thursday and Friday will still be warm in the 60s. Temperatures return to normal over the weekend with highs in the 50s. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chats open on the WBSM app. And with all that's been going on lately, all the running around I've been doing, then the election and all that, I haven't had time to do anything. Thank goodness there's Dash Laundromat to make laundry easier for me. One of the most time-consuming chores is now so much easier because of Dash Laundromat. Right now, you can actually not only make your life easier, but you can get rewarded for doing so. You can get a 25% bonus back on all of their washing machines with a deposit of $10 or more. So that's more bang for your laundry buck. But more importantly, if you don't have time to do your laundry, they've got you covered with their pickup and delivery service starting at just $25 for up to 25 pounds of laundry. That's just a dollar a pound. Or you can save more money by swinging by and dropping off your laundry at their convenient lockers. You just open up the Dash app. It gives you the code to open up the locker and put your laundry in there securely, and they'll handle the rest. They'll wash it, they'll dry it, they'll fold it. You can customize whatever you want them to utilize. You want them to put in some fabric softener or some of that stuff that makes it smell even better? They'll do all of that. And then they'll let you know when the laundry's done. You can just go pick it up from the locker whenever it works for you. So again, they can pick it up and drop it off, or you can drop it off and pick it up using their safe, secure lockers at a time that works for you. Dash Laundromat is where laundry is fast, easy, and rewarding. So make sure you download that Dash Laundromat app now. Visit them online at dashlaundromat.com or swing by and see how great of a place it is to do your laundry at One State Road in Dartmouth. So again, dashlaundromat.com and download the Dash Laundromat app. All right, 508-996-0500 is my number. I was saying I was going to give you an update on those numbers of some of the races that we are watching. And right now, for example, in the State Senate 3rd Bristol and Plymouth District, that one is very close with 76% of the vote in right now. Republican Kelly Dooner is leading Democrat Joseph Pacheco 47.7% to 47.1%. There's literally 44 votes separating the two of them right now. So that's one we're definitely keeping an eye on. And then we want to take a look at the, in the House, we have the 8th Bristol District competing for the seat that is being vacated by Paul Schmidt, who's retiring from the House. Steve Ouellette, still in the lead, 32.5%. He's the Democrat over Christopher Thrasher, the Republican, 32.4%. We are looking at a difference of 33 votes between the two of them. 35 votes. Sorry. So 35 votes difference right now with 80.39% of the vote in. So these are very close races that we still can't call. And for those wondering, Jesse St. Gelais is third in that race right now with 22.2%. So I don't know that he's going to be able to make that up. Although that there is only a difference of about 1,900 votes between him and Steve Ouellette. You know, that's probably too big of a gap considering what's left out there. Manny Soares, 8.2%. And Laura Hadley, 4.8%. In a very contested race there with all those candidates. Three independents plus the Democrat and the Republican. So those are the current standings of those very close races. Now let's take a look at the Massachusetts questions. With, was it 88% of the vote? 88.25% of the vote in. It's a clear win for yes on question one to authorize the state auditor to audit the legislature, 71.5% to 28.5%. So we figured that was going to go that way. Question two, removing the MCAS test as a high school graduation requirement. That passed as well, 58.9% to 41.1%. So that will then repeal the necessary requirement of the MCAS to graduate. We also have question three, allowing transportation network drivers to unionize. This would only allow them to form labor unions. It doesn't mean that they will. It just gives them the option to do it. And right now with 88.04% of the vote in, it's a 54.1% yes and a 45.9% no. So that hasn't been called yet. Question four, legalizing certain psychedelic substances, including so-called magic mushrooms. That is a no one. 56.9% to 43.1%. Again, I say if that was just about the therapeutic side of it, you might have seen a different outcome, but because of the decriminalization and the ability for people to grow their own, I think that was what kind of stood in a lot of people's way. Then question five, increasing the minimum wage of tipped workers. As we know, the restaurant industry came out on a huge campaign to shut that down, and they succeeded. So that was a no, 63.9% to 36.1%. So those are the questions. Taking a look at county commissioner for Bristol County, we've got still only 58.97%, or 59% of the vote is all that I have in front of me here. And you've got John Mitchell, the incumbent, not Mayor John Mitchell, but John Mitchell, J-O-H-N Mitchell, the incumbent on the Bristol County Commission, 43.7% of the vote. So he looks like he's poised to return. And then there's one other spot that is open there. So, and that's being battled out between Julie Ruggiero and Greg DiMello. And right now, Julie has 33.4% of the vote, while Greg has 23% of the vote. So a difference of about 22,000 between second and third place. But again, at 58.97% of the vote, and that is a county seat. So there's a lot of votes. And it seems weird when so many of the other communities are in the very high percentage of their votes, but yet that race has such little turned in. I don't know what the holdup is of that. But that's what you're looking at so far. And we'll, of course, give you any more updates to these as we have. In the 10th Bristol race, Mark Sylvia defeated Joe Pyers. Both Mark claimed victory and Joe conceded last night. And of course, we had some other races that were uncontested. So no surprise, the incumbents won those. And I think that you've got enough kind of still on the table to keep us interested in these races throughout the course of the day. And we said that there was going to be, it could be days before we had a winner in the presidential race. And it was about 5 o'clock this morning when things really became, I won't say official because nothing's official yet. And I'm not saying Donald Trump's not going to win. I'm saying like, these aren't the official results yet. That's just the nature of the election, of any election. But it's been called by pretty much everybody now for Donald Trump. He has the 270 electoral votes needed to win, actually more than that now. So that is settled faster than I think a lot of people thought that it would be. And now, I mean, I wouldn't have thought these local races would still not have answers. I would have thought by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock last night, we would know the winners of these races. So interesting. It shows how many people came out to vote and what it, you know, what it means going forward for future elections. I don't know, because we know presidential races always turn out well. We were talking before about the numbers for Donald Trump and Kamala Harris in New Bedford. And I'm going to give this like a real cursory look. Like, this is not exact math at all, but we're looking at about 8,000 in Ward 1. We're looking at about 2,300, so 11,300, adding in Ward 2, and then 16,000 plus another 5,000, so 21,000, 25,000, 28,000, 33. It's looking at about 33,000 votes cast for president in New Bedford. And that's just me doing math in my head, which I would not rely on. But 33,000, I don't know what the current voter totals are, because we had talked before about some of those high numbers. It was around, what, like 65,000, I think it was. And we talked about whether or not those voter rolls need to be called back a little bit. But still, if we got about 33,000 and 60, we're looking at about a 50% turnout in New Bedford. That's just me spitballing it off the top of my head. You know, we'll get the exact voter turnout from the elections office, but it's pretty good. It's less than the state average, but that's still pretty good when you consider where New Bedford has been. And certainly this Donald Trump vote motivated people to come out and vote, especially in places like Ward 1. So those are just, you know, some of the numbers at the local level. And of course, you'll see all the national numbers everywhere. You'll see that the Republicans take control of the Senate. The House is still to be determined, but they've got a path toward that. And of course, the presidency. 508-996-0500. Let me take my next break and we'll be right back. And welcome back in. We are going to go back to the phones in just a moment. Caller, hang on, because just very quickly, I want to let everybody know that with Thanksgiving coming up, we here at WBSM once again want to help local families celebrate together with our Hunger Heroes Food Drop. For the 32nd year, we'll be collecting food to benefit United Way of Greater New Bedford's Hunger Heroes Project. So you can join us at Aldi in Dartmouth on Saturday, November 16th from 10 a.m. to noon to donate the necessary Thanksgiving items. You can find out what those items are at WBSM.com. And it's basically the side dishes, you know, boxes of stuffing, cans of cranberry sauce, those kind of things. And you don't even have to get out of the car. We'll take it out of your car if you want. If you don't have any of it handy already or you don't want to do the shopping ahead of time, Aldi will have it all on display right by the register. So you can just walk in and buy it and give it to us. But if you already have it in the car, we'll just take it out of the car for you. Hunger Heroes Food Drop happening Saturday, November 16th from 10 to noon at Aldi in Dartmouth, right there in the Dartmouth Mall. And it's made possible by our friends at Ish Schwartz Appliance, First Citizens Federal Credit Union, Carefree Homes, and Aaron Pools and Spa. All right, let's go back to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
I'm on the air.
Sounds like you.
Okay. All right. No, I just sometimes you hear that bell there and someone else is answering the phone, you know, a caller ahead of you. That's right. Okay. Well, Bill Clinton's comment in 1992 is once again held true when he was asked, what is the issue that's going to decide this election? And he told a reporter, it's the economy, stupid. And that's why, you know, the Republicans... I mean, what happens is the party in power is held responsible, even if they aren't responsible. I don't think Herbert Hoover caused the Great Depression, but the Republicans were held responsible, and they didn't see the White House for 20 years. So, you know, I think that's what we saw last night. The people don't have the spending money they once had. The dollar is not worth much anymore.
But
you have a calamity.
The ironic thing about it is you got people who will also say, well, but what you're experiencing now is the result of, you know, the Trump economy. Trump benefited from the Obama economy. And now, you know, the Biden administration has been trying to fight its way out of the economy that Trump left it.
Yeah, so, well, I'm of the opinion that this inflationary spiral we're in has been caused by the monopolistic practices of oil executives who during the COVID they lost. They didn't lose money. They made money, but they didn't make the kind of profits that they were making prior to the COVID epidemic. And so they jacked up the prices as soon as they created a false sense of a lack of oil, which it was a bunch of baloney. We know that there's no lack of oil, and you know they're actually responsible for. I think they have to be, but they're manipulating the currency. They're so powerful. And I think that's a shame that, you know, a small group of individuals can manipulate our currency system the way they are.
Well, we probably won't get anybody to have to answer to it for the next 4 years at least.
No. You know why? Because it's a worldwide problem. You can't hold politicians in this country responsible for what's happening in Australia or England or, I mean, they've got a worse inflation rate than we have.
Wait, you mean Joe Biden doesn't cause inflation in other countries? That's
no,
what they're having to believe.
I don't see how.
I know. I got to hold you there because I got to take one final break.
Yeah.
But thank you for the call. You have a good day. And I got to take this break. We'll be back in just a few moments. All right. That is going to do it for me for today. I got to go out there and get a pizza for Mary. And then...